Chase and Big Joe, hour number two, 102.5, the game on this Friday. We're at Boston Commons down here on the east side.
East side?
On Woodland Street. Too many W streets in this town.
Right. Woodland Street, baby. East Nashville.
East nice Nasty representing.
Handsome crowd here today and a pretty crowd as well.
So our buddy Johnny Maffey was on with us from Fox 17 just a few minutes ago. He asked, you know, if he can reference spreads.
Yeah.
Our friend at Music City Bets has put this stat out there. Mike McCoy is 31-32-1 against the spread as a head coach. He covers 40% of the time at home. If you are so interested in the Titans, currently getting 7 points on Sunday.
7.5.
It is now down to 7.
Oh, will that influence you a little bit?
No, because if I was going to take him, I would want the hook.
Okay. All right.
And now you don't have the hook. So.
All right, makes sense.
Because now if Patriots won by 7, it's a push.
Right. Well, I always had friends that would lose money betting on Vanderbilt. I'm like, that's what you get for betting on Vanderbilt.
Yeah, my dad used to say that too.
Yeah. So yeah, don't let them influence you.
I'm not.
I'm not you, but I'm just saying overall in life and things.
Yeah, right. You know, I let you influence me, but that's
why we wait on Chris Sanders. All right, a massive contract in college football.
You want to do that? Yeah. Okay, we'll do that. Yes, and one that like. It's going to change the game because this guy was going to be very sought after, especially by one school, and that's Kurt Cignetti with Indiana signing an 8-year, $93 million contract. Makes him the third highest paid coach in college football. You know, I felt when Penn State fired James Franklin that they needed to, you know, they were going to talk to Matt Rhule. They needed to talk to Kurt Cignetti. I think they're going to call Clark Lee if things continue the way they are. But Indiana basically got in front of it and said, here you go.
So $11.6 million a year.
Yeah.
So Indiana football has the third highest paid coach. Is the buyout $90 million, I was told? I know it decreases each and every year.
I think I saw it was 93. Like, it was a fully guaranteed deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, good. Look. You got the money, pay for it. That's great. And by all accounts, he's a great coach. He's won everywhere he's been. But, man, that's a Indiana football. To make Indiana football relevant? Good Lord.
A lot of people I've seen on Twitter and TV and stuff think that they're stupid for doing it. Like, I get why they extended him, but by that much. I mean, you basically, like, he's there. He can finish his career there.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's off. Anybody that had him on their short list –
And do these contracts – I mean, look, I know Saban did. I know Gundy has. I mean, some of these long-tenured coaches. But do they ever live out the contract? I mean, for the most part, no.
No.
I mean, do you think he's going to be there in 5 years?
Probably not.
Probably not.
But I mean, by then, you know, the buyout's not as much. But, no, but okay. I didn't realize he was 64, too. I didn't realize he was – he was in his 50s.
Will you still love him when he's 64?
Yeah. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
I love you, man. I'm glad you got that.
probably not.
So now if you're Penn – look, to me, Matt Rhule's going to Penn State. I don't think he goes. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think he's doing something in Nebraska. They took a chance on him, and I think he's going to stay at Nebraska. That's what I think.
Would you blame him though? Because I mean, he went to Penn State.
No, I didn't. But you can't always go. Look at Scott Frost. I mean, you can't always go home again.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting too how that job is viewed. Because I mean, we all thought when Saban retired, everybody was going to clamor for that job, and everybody stayed as far away from it and got paid elsewhere.
Yeah,
They kind of had to take 6th or 7th on the list.
Yeah, I mean, and look at DeBoer's been a great coach all along, but as we talk about,
I don't know if Bama fans would agree with you on that.
Well, I mean, he was great at Washington. He was at Indiana. I mean, he won everywhere he's been. But again, that's the Ray Perkins rule. I'm not following a legend. I would not do that. And then DeBoer took it, and then last year was rough, and opening this year losing Florida State's tough. And, you know, if they lose to Tennessee tomorrow and then LSU down, I mean, they'll turn on him quick, which happens. But it's just a lot of money for a – I mean, you're a traditional basketball school, and your football coach is making way more than your basketball coach, which I've told you before, the Bo Schembechler story, when Patino was trying to go to Michigan and they offered him all this money, he would outpaid. The offer was over what the football coach made. Schembechler said, no, as long as I'm here, the basketball coach will not make more than the football coach. And that was the case with all that.
Dr. Crane has texted us about it for Penn State, about a guy we saw last weekend with UNLV, Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen last week, Chase, looked extremely happy.
Yep.
He looked extremely happy.
Like, Dr. Crane, we both commented on this. Like, we saw him, and he was taking pictures with people.
I mean, he was before the game.
He was just so relaxed because there is absolutely zero pressure at UNLV.
Oh, I agree. I mean, why go to a Power 4 school when you can stay at a Group of 5 school and make the playoff every year? I texted you guys that last Sunday. I was like, this is a perfect reason why to stay. I also texted y'all, like, this situation could go either way. Like, he could go back home to Pennsylvania. This could be a dream job. But like you guys just said, if he's happy taking pictures, he probably misses me. But, I mean, we get it.
He does miss you.
He looked extremely relaxed and having a good time. And his team's 6-0. And why go back to being
part
of that?
6-0.
Yeah, why go back to being all that? If your heart's not in it, then don't do it. Just don't go back there and do that. So if Matt Rhule turns him down and Dan Mullen turns him down, Penn State's going after somebody because they want to make that splash. But who knows?
I think I am the most fascinated about this college football coaching carousel this year than I have been in a while. Just because I still think there's several dominoes to drop. And, you know, right now Penn State is probably the most prominent job that's open. Florida likely is open at the end of the year. And then there's always those jobs that we had no idea were going to be open that will be open.
Somebody wrote that the South Florida coach,
Goulash.
Alec Goulash. Did your mom make good goulash growing up?
Alex Goulash was Heupel's OC up in Tennessee.
Let's go back to the goulash for a second. Okay. Did your mom make good goulash? All moms
do. I don't know what goulash is.
Does it go with Soylent Green?
You never heard of goulash?
No.
Are you kidding me?
But I don't know what it is.
You two have never heard of goulash?
I've heard of the goulash.
Have you, Jakey Baby? Jakey Baby hasn't either.
Goulash, a hearty meat and vegetable dish that originated with the Hungarian shepherds. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Goulash. Moms are.
My grandmother made this.
Okay. Thank you.
Shepherd's pie?
No, I'm talking goulash, punk. No.
You would know. Here, Dr. Crane, I'll send it. You would know it, I think, if you saw it.
Am I that old? And I work with so people that are young. You know what goulash is?
Yeah, I've had this before.
I know what it is. I didn't realize the name.
If your mom only made one dish, it was goulash. That's all she
made. It's like beef stew.
I guess, but I called it goulash.
Yeah.
My mom made perfect goulash. I mean, she was a great cook, but that was perfect. But all moms knew how to make goulash. Okay, anyway, the coach at South Florida, what's his name?
Alex Goulash.
Goulash. He's being mentioned very prominently for the Penn State job, for the job he's done at USF.
He's been mentioned for every job.
Now, that's a jump. You go from Group of Five to Power Four. I get that jump to do that. Mullen's been there. It stayed in Florida. Just why? I mean, he's making good money in Vegas.
But what's going to be interesting is some of the, like, you know, as the Group of Four jobs open, and like James Franklin, for instance, it would behoove him to get another job based on the way his contract reads.
Yeah.
So, you know, does he go to
Arizona.
Arizona, or I was going to say South Florida, or – you know, if Mullen left, the UNLV could be perfect for James Franklin.
I think Oregon State.
Missouri. Like, if Eli – like, I think Drinkwitz's stock is pretty high. Now,
pretty
I think he's happy there. But, you know, that could be a job. If South Carolina opens up, James Franklin's going to use the same bit he used on Vanderbilt to get that job.
Successful here.
Right.
I could see that. Yep. I totally see that. Yeah, he'll land someplace else. But
now I think he's going to do his damnedest to get Florida if that opens up. But if I'm Florida, I'm looking elsewhere.
Yeah, right? Can't stand James Franklin. But, I mean, if he wants to get away from it, go to Oregon State. Go, I mean, go across country where you
Oklahoma State.
You build your own program. I wouldn't see – I think Oklahoma State's a terrible job.
I think it is too.
Because you're always, always the little brother to Oklahoma.
Is Gundy done? Could he land somewhere?
I don't know. He made a lot of – I don't think he's really interested. From what I've gathered,
yeah,
he may want to. But, I mean, this is like you get the money. But a coach is always a coach. You know?
There's one to watch, and this is solely based on when he came on with us, but I could tell he still wants to coach, and that's Muschamp. Now, I don't think he – I think maybe not P4, but like one of the – like a UAB or, you know, South Florida opens one of the – a job like that. I could see him jumping in that.
Here is a text from a friend of ours. Joe Brady with the next Penn State coach. The Bills owner bought out Franklin's contract. The Bills OC is Brady's boy.
Mm. Okay.
The Bills OC is going to Penn State. That's from a friend
of Brady.
Ours. Joe Brady.
Yeah, that could be interesting. See, I think he wants an NFL job.
What did he say last time you talked to him?
That he wants an NFL job. There was another – I heard somebody say something about there was an NFL coach that could be interested in Penn State.
Head coach?
Yeah. I'll look through my text. Somebody said that to me. 615-737-1025.
Yeah, the Clark Lee thing, interesting.
He's going to get calls.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, whether he wants to take them or not, that's on him. But he's going to get calls. We'll continue this and much more coming up next, including our question of the day. What did Mike Vrabel write in a card to Amy Adams Strunk? And also, did Al Michaels predict the future last night?
Love this.
We'll discuss that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator. Not long ago, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Third down and three now.
That was Al Michaels last night, Thursday Night Football, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Oh, that's true. You sent me the text, and I looked at my watch. It said text from Chase. It said Al Michaels, an AI. I'm like, Al, and it was like Al, not AI. And I saw the clip that you sent us, and I
– did Al predict the future?
Started laughing. I mean, that's so obvious. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I saw that, and I laughed. Very, very hard at that. I'm like, do what now? Did he mean to say that? I hate to say this because Al's my favorite. But in watching the game last night, he called at one point, he called Flacco Burrow. And I'm like, oh, man, Al's losing the fastball. I hate seeing it.
But think of all, I mean, what all he's been. I mean,
no, I know.
Lake Placid, the Miracle on Ice. The earthquake in 89 for the San Francisco and Oakland World Series, and then everything else after that.
You're forgetting something because they referenced it last night, being that they were in Cincinnati. He was the voice of the Reds for 3 or 4 years, I think, before Marty Brenneman took over.
That's right. Yeah. Didn't he go from Hawaii, Triple-A baseball, maybe, then to the Reds, and then bounced up?
Yep, and then he started doing network and everything. The miracle is what put him on the map.
Yep, tape delayed, too.
Tape delayed. Do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Who did they? Well, football today. Who did they beat to win the gold?
Don't tell me. Switzerland?
I thought it was maybe Finland.
Finland. It was Finland. Yeah.
Because people think they won the gold after that.
No,
I'm like, they won the gold. Like, no, they didn't.
It was the semifinals. Yep.
Well, that's
so that made me laugh. Last night. So there's this SI website that lists the current open college jobs and ranks them. I want to see if you agree with the ranking.
All right.
Penn State, number one.
Absolutely.
I no argument there. Virginia Tech, number two.
I need to see what three is.
Well, hang on. I'm a slight comment on Virginia Tech. Do you think, because your favorite phrase is stay one step ahead of the jailer.
Amen.
That Shane Beamer might look and go, you know what? The writing can be on the wall here. This hasn't gone the way that everybody was hoping it would this year. I could go home to Virginia Tech.
Because
I think they want him, but I think he's wanted to stay out of his dad's shadow.
Sure.
But that could be a safe play for him And he could go and be there for as long as he wanted to be.
I mean, yeah, there was a lot of Beamer references still in Blacksburg. I mean, yeah. Why not, right? I mean, yeah. Go now. I mean, you're not following your dad. There's been other coaches.
Right. So I think enough time has passed.
Yep.
Number three is Arkansas.
Arkansas is a very underrated
job.
There's a lot of money in that program, and that state loves Arkansas football.
Oklahoma State is four.
I don't know.
Stanford is five. I forget that's open. That's just a
It's not a bad – I mean, it's Stanford, right?
Yeah. I can see Franklin there.
He's he knows coached academics.
Right. UCLA.
Despite what UCLA is now, I remember the UCLA of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I mean, that's the UCLA that I remember, so hell yeah, it's a good job.
Oregon State.
I mean, that's a tough one because they're, like, on an island right now. So, yeah, I mean, if you're coming up from FCS or something, but, yeah.
UAB.
Yes. No, that's a really tough job because you're sandwiched between Alabama and Auburn.
Yep.
And then Jacksonville State's up the road is a good program. So, I don't know. I mean, it's still in the American Athletic Conference. It's a good job that pays money, and there's a lot of talent in Alabama.
USA Today has Arkansas number two, and then UCLA three, Virginia Tech four.
I like that better. Yeah. I mean, Arkansas to me is right under Penn State. It's just you're in the SEC. You got great facilities there. You got a great fan base who loves you. I mean, that is a great job to have. And so I would be, you know, I would be James Franklin could go there. That'd be great. Back in the SEC, it's so fun.
I'm debating if I want to read this text to you.
Read it,
pal. And put you in a weird position.
Oh, no. I've been in a lot of weird positions in my life.
Hey-o. That's what she said.
Oh, my gosh. Hey-o.
Where's the Michael Scott drop when we need it?
Oh, man.
Where would you rank MTSU if just in general, where would you rank that job?
If it came open,
yeah,
it's right next to UAB. I mean, it's a group of five job.
It's a good job.
It's a group of five job, brand new facilities. I don't think it's going to come open for a while. So I still think it's the group of five is a drop down, obviously from Power Four. But I think it's a very good job. And those jobs are good, I think.
Look, Middle's a good job. And Derek has been faced with some stuff, some obstacles. I mean, he's had two straight years where they've had 60-plus new players on the team.
I mean, they've got probably 15 to 18 guys that are starting on Power Four teams and making a huge – there's a couple that are preseason All-American. I mean, so – that's the thing. You're losing guys left and right.
And they've lost the game. You know, some of the games they've lost have been really close, too. So I don't know. I'm not making excuses, but
you're right. You're right. I mean, look, they're not bad. It's just they've lost a lot of players, and a lot of the group of five schools are going through the same thing. Then you see your player on a Power Four school on Sunday or Saturday. You're like, oh, man, if only to stay. But I get it. Oh,
man.
If
Petrino doesn't keep the job in Arkansas, is that not like the perfect landing spot for Jimbo?
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he wants to get back in the SEC, though. I mean, he does the ACC network stuff now. He doesn't have to work.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, he does not have to work.
I'm telling you, if things keep going the way they are, there's a job in the ACC that I think is going to be open. That if they wanted to bring Daddy home, they could. And that's Florida State.
But they owe Norville so much money. His buyout is unbelievable.
Yeah, but
$40-50 million.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Jimbo's getting paid by A&M no matter what. So
yeah, true. But I don't know if they he left really bad terms at Florida State. So I don't know if they'd want him back or not. But I think he coaches again. But I think it's a little less pressurized place of like an FAU or. He won't go to UAB. I mean, although, you know, I played with him at Samford. It's in Birmingham. He knows Birmingham well.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, you could say go out there and have fun. And you get – but, again, if you don't have to work, then why would you go work?
Is Clemson going to open up?
No. They love him.
I know.
They love Dabo because
but I'm wondering. I'm wondering how much he loves. Like, I've seen like a few press conferences with him, and he looks like he's just really burnt out.
I can see that.
He hates where the game has gone. He hates what you have to do now, and he has dug his heels in that he's not going to be a part of it, and they're paying for it.
Well, that's the thing is the coaches that we know, we've talked to about the changing in the game, like this is how it is now. Yeah. You better get in line or just get out.
But he could get out and be at Clemson like Saban is at Alabama right now.
I think people would have – like, yeah. I mean, look, Mark Richt was on the ACC network. He was fun. I mean, they, yeah. those network jobs have become a lot of fun for these guys because they're still involved in football, but none of the pressure.
Yeah.
None of the pressure because you have to re-recruit your players every single year. Our good friend, the coach, has to re-recruit his guys every single year. And at the last second, Texas Tech comes in and says, hey, we want to give your left tackle $100,000. What's he going to do? Yeah. He's gone.
Right.
That's just the way it is now.
He's going to go tell the left tackle, like, love you, son. Good luck.
Yeah, take care of yourself. Be gone.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. It's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are at Boston Commons here in East Nashville today. Come by and see us on Woodland Street. More coming. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Boston Commons here on Woodland Street. Come hang out with us.
A little crowd here gathering.
We got a good little crowd
here. You're pretty.
All right, so did you watch the Thursday game last night?
I did not.
Okay, well, it was a good one.
I watched Tulsa and East Carolina.
Okay. The NFL has actually had some decent Thursday night football games this year. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers taking on Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals. In fact, I had the baseball game on FS1 as well. They put a graphic up at one point showing the 41, I think it was 41-year-old Max Scherzer, thank you. Mm-hmm. And this is why we're a tag team. And then Aaron Rodgers at 41 and Flacco at 40, all playing at the same time.
Love it.
So that game was last night. Earlier in the week, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin had brought up that he didn't quite understand what the Browns were thinking trading a quarterback within the division to a team that needed a quarterback.
Yes.
Why you would do that? Well, it came back to bite the Steelers last night.
Right.
Because Joe Flacco looked like Tom Brady and found Ja'Marr Chase for like 25 catches, it seems, and they beat the Steelers on Thursday Night Football.
Yes.
Great. It was a fun game, great game. But to the point that Tomlin – was making ESPN Cleveland's Tony Rizzo, which I believe is the flagship of the Browns, lost his ever-loving mind this morning. Check this rant out.
How could you do that, Andrew? How could you do it? Why on earth did you feel the need to trade this guy to a division opponent for a fifth-round draft pick? Fireable offense. That is a fireable offense. I want to know how much longer the owner's going to watch this crap because the fans have had it. We deserve better. You're just worried more about your stadium than you are your football team. That's the perception, Jimmy. And you allow these people to do this. You have the worst offense in the league. Your GM screwed this quarterback thing up like I've never seen in my life. I've never seen anything like it. Kids that play Madden could have done a better job. Truly. That's not hyperbole. It's a joke. It's a joke. This franchise has become a joke. And I'm sick of it.
That was Tony Rizzo this morning. And comments directed at both owner Jimmy Haslam and general manager Andrew Berry after trading Joe Flacco not only to a division rival, but an in-state rival.
Right.
Like, it's my understanding that Cleveland and Cincinnati is kind of like Nashville and Memphis. Like, there's not a lot of love there, you know, between the two cities. So not only that, but what's hilarious about that rant is, as he was going along, I watched this morning, I was going, huh, this all kind of sounds familiar. So what's the worst, like, who's got the worst group right now? Is it the Titans or the Browns? And we know the Browns fans.
Browns.
No offense, Titans fans. They're more passionate than you are.
It's Brown. I mean, the example there, Deshaun Watson getting the lifetime contract, or basically a lifetime contract, guarantee contract. I think it's the Browns. I mean, they've never been to a Super Bowl.
Nope.
I mean, they had opportunities. I mean, they traded Belichick traded Bernie Kosar in 93, and he
after
won a Super
he punched
Bowl.
Him or got he punched.
Won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys that year. I mean, there's this other. I'm trying to think. I mean, they went to the playoffs with Flacco, right, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yep.
And let him go. I think the Browns are the far worse franchise.
So let me word it this way. Thinking of the context and the long term, well, that's not the best way to put it. But
okay.
What is a worse trade? Trading A.J. Brown or trading Flacco, who is your starting quarterback, to start the year to a team in your division that you're in a fight with because the division's bad, and you just gave them a starting quarterback?
Ask that question out of Nashville, it's Flacco.
Yeah.
Ask it in our city, it's 100% A.J. Brown.
I think you're right because people aren't going to think – they're going to just think surface level on it.
Right.
But if you think deeper, like Andrew Berry should be fired for that. Because you just went – you one, they made this whole thing a mess – in the summer, they sign Flacco. They trade for Kenny Pickett. They draft Dillon Gabriel in the third round. And then draft Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round because I think that was a pressure move.
Could be.
I think somebody was like, will somebody please just take him away?
I whispered.
So then you got the whole Deshaun Watson thing. So you have five quarterbacks that are on the roster.
Yeah.
You trade Pickett. You start Flacco. You IR Watson, and then you have the two rookies that are backing up Flacco. You know, the team's not very good. Flacco's not getting much help, so you bench him, put Gabriel in, see what you got in the kid. But then you turn around and trade Flacco to your division in-state rival for a fifth-round pick, and they're a team that were dead, buried, and gone because Burrow was hurt. And now you give them Flacco, and they've won two in a row.
Yeah, so I think outside of Nashville, I think that trade seems worse. Because now what if Flacco would have gone 9 of 27 for 42 yards and 5 interceptions? Yeah, I mean, so there, the fact he played the game of his life against a team in the division like that with Pittsburgh, it's great. For us here, though, we all point back to the A.J. Brown trade, April of 2022, at the absolute sinking of this franchise. So it means more for us here. But I still think both trades. I would have never – what I told you this last night, I think Jeffrey Simmons gets traded to New England on Monday. I really believe that.
I don't think it's going to be Monday, but I think he's going to get traded.
And I just think get through the weekend and move on because you don't want to play the guy, you know, trade him and then play him the next week. Now you're done with him. You're not making the playoffs. They're in the AFC North. They're gone. I mean, the AFC East. They're gone. And you have to deal with it. But now, I mean, that's – I would have never traded anybody within the division. I don't care what they're giving me back.
Well, I was wrong. Last night was their first win with Flacco, but they played competitively against Green Bay. They're now a game back of the lead in the division.
So they're 3-3?
They're 3-4.
3-4. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, they did it. I mean, the Browns are notorious for making bad decisions.
I guess you can say each quarterback has won them a game that they've had this
Burrow,
year.
Browning, and Flacco.
Yeah.
That's a good law firm.
Yeah.
Burrow, Browning, and Flacco.
And by the way, they will be. They will play Cleveland in Cincinnati the last game of the year.
Ah, okay.
So they beat Flacco the first game of the year at Cleveland.
Wow.
And now he's with them.
Okay.
And, I mean, he and Ja'Marr Chase were unbeatable last night.
But I would throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase every single time, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't waste any time.
I mean, he had – let me pull up the box score here. I know he set – I think he set like a – single game record for the Bengals maybe, but so Flacco was 31 of 47 passes attempted last night, and Ja'Marr Chase 16 catches, 161 yards and one touchdown.
Fantastic.
I think over 20 something targets.
I would throw it to him every single time too. I mean, he's your guy. He complained last week about not getting the ball. Throw it to him.
The next most on the team, 6 receptions to T. Higgins. So 10 more receptions.
How many targets? 25? Was that it? It was the most targeted receiver in the last 45 years in football.
Maybe that was a stat I was trying to think of. Yeah. For some reason, NFL.com doesn't
23
put targets.
Jakey Baby says 23 times.
23?
The most targeted receiver, and I think it's like
23. So 23, caught 16. T. Higgins was targeted 10 times, caught 6. And then the rest.
Yep. So, I mean, look, it's – and that's – and also, real quick, can we stop
and then
this?
Rodgers turned Pat Freiermuth into Lynn Swan.
Can we stop because you turn 30, you're done? Because you turn 35, you're done? Because you turn – can we stop that? I mean, this is the nonsense of all that. I mean, Flacco's over 40. Rodgers over 40. Brady's in his mid-40s. Max Scherzer's 40-something. I mean, because you turn 30 – you know, like DeAndre Hopkins, he's turning 30. He's going to lose a step. No, he didn't. He just complained he didn't get the football when he was here. I mean, it's can we stop? Please stop doing that. I see better fit men at my gym over 40 than I do under 40.
No,
let's stop that.
The older you get, you don't lose a step. You just bitch more, and then you get what you want.
Right. We have the right to play. Look, I saw this reel, a motivational reel, of a guy talking to a therapist. He says, what do you tell men who are chronically aware that they're getting old? I tell them two things. Go to the gym, lift as much weight as you can. Stop drinking.
Yeah.
Right? So you it's what you put in your body. Go to the gym and work out and be happy and find gratitude. We talk about it all the time. So stop saying because somebody turns 40, it's over. It's not over with. Damn it, I'm fired up now.
615-737-1025. We're live today at Boston Commons here in East Nashville. Michelle Kennedy going to join us at the bottom of the next hour. We'll talk Preds with her. As Preds, that was a tough one last night.
Got a point, right?
Got a point, but still, you were 20 seconds away from winning the game, and then it gets tied up, and then the same guy wins it with 2 seconds left in overtime before a shootout. So that was a tough one for sure. We'll continue to discuss the Titans and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Big Joe is out meeting with the crowd, signing autographs, shaking hands, kissing some babies as well. But we're live at Boston Commons here in East Nashville on Woodland Street, as the Titans get ready to take on the Patriots.
That wasn't a baby. That was a little person.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
I don't know where to go from there. The Titans have ruled out a few players. Mike McCoy, from his press conference, couple of quotes that stood out. He says, Blake Hance, Arden Key, Calvin Ridley, and Bryce Oliver will be out. Those four will be out. And you'll see some more things that are questionable, things like that. And those will all be in the next couple of days. You'll figure out. He then says this, and he says this a couple of times, which think is interesting. The one thing I'll say, too, is with regards to injuries throughout the year, I'll try to give you guys as much as I can. But I also, just so you guys understand, I got to protect our football team. So when I can, there's injuries. When I know things for a fact, I will let you guys know that. I think that's his nice way of saying I'm not going to tell you a whole lot.
I like
Callahan was pretty open about certain things.
Yeah, and that's fine. Is that the fact that I like the appearance of transparency here for a little bit? I don't mind that. But I mean, what else are you going to say, right? I mean, we'll figure it all out when they don't show up on Sunday.
So later, he was asked if James Prochet would be called up this weekend because they basically got three receivers on the depth chart right now. He says, one thing you're going to learn about me in a hurry is I'm not going to give you too much for a game plan. In all seriousness, we'll figure out what we're going to do. We'll announce who's active, who's down come game day. We have some good options. On if they're going to need to fill one roster spot on game day, yeah, we have some good options.
Okay, well, I mean, there you go. I mean, I don't know what else you want him to say, and I like it, and figure out who's out there. I just need him to say we've caught up Restrepo. That's what I need to hear.
They might have to.
We called him up.
I mean, right now, like, you don't have Ridley. You have Io Manor. You have DK. You have – who else?
I don't even know. Van Jefferson.
Io Manor, DK, Jefferson, Lockett, and then Oliver and Ridley are out.
Prochet.
So, I think you're calling up either Prochet or Restrepo.
Or Mason Kinsey.
No, let Vrabel call him up. That's his boy.
Mason Kinsey sounds like a shoe rep.
Yeah, your practice squad receivers right now are Mason Kinsey, James Prochet, and then the strap.
Bring him up. I would love to see him bring him up on Sunday and catch the pass and score the touchdown. I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
Where's Brian Callahan watching the game Sunday? Not at home.
Right here at Boston Commons in East Nashville.
Wearing Patriots gear, just kind of fitting in with everybody.
Do you think – so you know how this happens a lot. Like a coach gets fired, and if there's a place they spend a lot of time before that, they usually end back up there if the previous regime is there. So, like, Zach Taylor's still in Cincinnati. I could totally see Callahan being like a special consultant or something for the rest of the year.
Well, you know who his buddy in Nashville is, right?
Clark Lee. That's a good point.
See him on the sidelines.
Could show up on West End.
How about come over here Saturday, hang out with us, and let's watch LSU. And good for him.
Clark, if you're listening, I'm fine with that. I know you guys are buddies, but please do not take challenge advice from him.
just don't take any advice from him. Have him over in the stands. It'll be fine.
Just let him that's let him a good pep talks and attaboys.
That's the way to do it, yeah. And no, he doesn't get extremely frustrated or mad at anything in the world. That's okay.
Yeah.
To do all that. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, you're right. You go back to what's familiar in your life and for all those things. And it's difficult because think about this. He's been on an NFL sideline, was it since 2010?
A while. Denver – or no, what was before Denver? He was – because he was on Kubiak's staff in Denver.
Yep. Then so you
Washington? Was he on one?
I don't remember. I'm too lazy to Google. But every Sunday he's been – and now a Sunday – you're not going anywhere. I mean, does he go to the game, Titans game? Does he go tailgate? I'd
so
go tailgate.
He was a GA at UCLA, and then in 2010 he was with the Broncos.
Okay.
So he started with the Broncos in 2010. He was there until 2015, then Detroit 16-17, Oakland in 2018, the Bengals 19-23, here 24-25.
Two quick stories. Ricky, if you listen, you might remember this. You might have been there too. We were at a tailgate, and Latrell Hawkins shows up.
Yeah,
he was on the practice squad. He was like inactive that day.
Yeah,
he shows up at this tailgate we're at. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, they're not playing. I'll come hang out. I'm like, what the hell? And then Javon Kearse in 2009 when Fisher made him inactive, and then
he didn't show up with Steelers. Right?
He went home. He
won that Monday night against the Steelers.
I don't remember. It was a night game. Yeah.
I think it was a Monday night game against Pittsburgh.
I mean, Keith Bullock said they were looking over, and all of a sudden, Javon Kearse is in his street clothes. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm out of here.
Wasn't that the same game? I think it was the same game that Bullock and Lindell did the terrible towel, stomped on the towel, and that was like the curse of the season.
No, that was the end of the 2008 season. That was a day game when they beat him. They were doing that.
Oh, okay.
And then because the Steelers came back because they lost to the Ravens.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Two weeks later.
So it was the next year. It was 2009.
Yeah, 2009, yeah. It was a night game.
It was Monday night football.
Yep. And then they're like, where are you going? He's like, no, he don't need me. I'm going home. And we asked Javon, he's like, man, he goes, my TV at home, much better than standing on the sidelines.
It's cold. Like,
yeah,
was,
right. And we asked cold. Fisher about that. He laughed about it. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if he fined Javon for leaving because you're not supposed to. But he left and went home.
I think that's when they both knew that Javon was done.
Yeah. Yep. Done.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we're done. Like, we
– take care of yourself.
You got – because, like, 2008 was, like, that resurgent year, but he had, you know, Albert and Vandenbosch and the unsung hero of that defensive line, Tony Brown.
Did he pass away?
I don't think so.
I know he had cancer pretty bad.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know if he – they were Tony out of Chattanooga. Tony Brown was wonderful.
I don't know. No, he's still around.
Okay. I know Josh Evans passed away.
Yeah,
from the
that's
Super Bowl
who
team.
I was thinking of.
Tony Brown was sick for a while too. I hope he's okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was – that dude was such an unsung hero.
Yep.
Like, everybody focused on Albert and Vandenbosch, and they should have. I mean, I get it. But, like, Tony Brown was legit.
And I think for those who don't really realize, 07 and 08 with Vandenbosch and Haynesworth – I mean, it was so much fun to watch
because
they destroyed offensive lines. Destroyed them.
Because offenses realize you could only double team one.
Right.
So if you double team Albert, KVB's going to come get you. You double team KVB, Albert's going to come get you.
It was great, man. And Bullock
Jim Washburn,
was there.
Yep.
So good, man.
They had such a pass rush then.
They just punished guys. It was fun to watch.
I miss those days. I miss those days.
Don't we all?
We will have more coming in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get back to our question of the day, which is?
Mike Vrabel is going to give Amy Adams a card on Sunday. He's going to extend the paw, a little olive branch. What does the card say? It says, Dear Amy blank. Dear Amy blank. What does the card from Mike Vrabel to Amy Adams say? He'll hand her on Sunday. 615-737-1025.
We will do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.